Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to your favorite cousins and your new favorite podcast. Join the cousins as we discuss trending topics, current events, dating, relationships, and family. New episodes are recorded and published weekly. You can listen using Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Make sure to rate and subscribe. Welcome to the party. Welcome back to the party, everybody. Welcome to an episode of Your Favorite Cousins. I'm Cousin Lee. We got a few cousins on the line this evening. Cousin Nikki is here.
Cousin Nikki is here, guys.
Cousin Tasha is here.
Cousin Tasha is here.
And Cousin Sean is here.
Hey.
All right, so let's get right into the topics. Let's make this, short and sweet. And let's get to the discussion, ladies.
All right, so one of the things we're going to talk about tonight, let's talk about finances and student loans and why nobody tells you about the effects of loans on your credit. So this is for anyone listening that is thinking about going to school, in school, been to school, got kids headed to school, they in school. This conversation is for you. If you got bad credit and you're trying to get your life together, this conversation is for you. So let's talk about credit. I'm sure we've all seen the meme that says that an 800 credit score has more purchasing power than $100,000. And that is so true, because no one really has that conversation of how important your credit is. And I can speak for myself, knowing that my first introduction to credit was in college. You know, back when I was in school, I don't know if they're still doing it now, but I know when I was in college, it was nothing to walk across the yard and you see a credit card company set up with a table on campus. You walking across the yard and they're like, hey, come here, fill out this application. You're not thinking about the effect that's going to have on your credit. All you know is that you're a broke college student and somebody just gave you access to $500 to $1,000. And you're like, oh man, I got this money and, you know, I'm going to go swipe my card. Yo, we're going, you know, you want to go out to eat or you want to do something, you want to buy some shoes. Oh, I got my credit card. I just use my credit card. But you didn't have no job. All you had was a student refund. So you depended on your refund check to pay your credit card bill. And then if you got loans, if you had student loans, any kind of financial aid, you depended on that refund check. And the first thought is, I got this credit card, I'm gonna run it up. And then when I get my refund check, I'm gonna pay it off and it's gonna start all over again. But of course you don't use the money smart, because you get your refund check and you're like, oh, I get to do this, I get to do that. You pay a little bit or paying a minimum on your credit card, thinking that that's doing something. Nobody has that conversation with you when you're that age. So not only do you got credit cards, but you got loans, you get refunds. That's more money added to the loans that you got to pay back later. No one has that conversation. So this is one of those things that we can definitely go down the rabbit hole. But to stay on track, let's start with this question. When money involved, there is a risk. So do you think that college is worth the financial risk?
No. I absolutely don't. And I will tell you why.
Please do.
I feel like, it's not what I feel like. I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal the other day. It was titled, "The Student Debt Crisis Hits the Hardest at Historically Black Colleges."
Mm.
So it was going down, you know, detailing, okay, historically black colleges are important to the history of African Americans. And it was saying that HBCU alumni have a median federal debt load of about $29,000 at graduation, 32% above graduates of other public schools and nonprofit four-year schools. The majority of HBCU grads haven't paid down even a dollar of their original loan balance in the first few years out of school. So what do you think that does to the HBCU? It puts them in debt, right?
Exactly.
So it's like a cycle. So it says America's 82 four-year HBCUs make up 5% of four-year institutions. but more than 50% of the 100 schools with the lowest three-year student loan repayment rates. So it goes down to the chart, and the chart has a percentage of undergraduate students with loans. HBCU private is 75, public 70, and you go down in for-profit institutions. ICDC College, the one that got shut down in 2016 for a scam, that theirs was 56%, and for-profit colleges have been known to have people drowning in debt, which is why they open and shut down so quickly, because it's just a money grab.
It is, and I think I tell anybody that student loans are a scam.
They're a scam, and definitely, like, they're a scam. Student loans are definitely a scam. Like, I just posted the other day because I got really pissed thinking about Joe Biden, and he was talking about, in some interview, he was saying that he doesn't feel sorry for millennials, basically calling us snowflakes, you know. Mm. To use right-wing language, calling the snowflakes, saying that we shouldn't be complaining when we are the poorest generation in decades. When Joe Biden went to school in 1965, his tuition, he went to Delaware State, I believe, it was $607
wow.
a year. That is, with inflation, that only goes to about a little over $4,000. And now that school costs more than that. So with inflation factored in, college is still more than it should be. It's still overpriced.
Yeah, and absolutely overpriced.
And you know them jobs ain't going away, which is why the wealth gap is, like, inflated. People who... Listen, I hate to turn this into a race thing, but it is. We know, I just told you who's struggling with their student loans and why. Like,
yes, I am black and I'm struggling.
Exactly. Like, and so before we talk about any fixes to finances or how things need to be fixed, we read that. It's a three-card spread, past, present, and future. It's a three-card tarot spread. This is how you got here. This is where you are, and this is what you're going to be if you don't fix it.
That is absolutely right.
Period.
Absolutely right. Period. I know I can speak from a personal perspective that, you know, student loans have been a huge hindrance for me and being able to do the things that I wanted to do. So, you know, I just recently purchased a house. And that road to purchasing that house was hard. And a large part of it was my student loan debt. And it wasn't even, it affected my credit in two ways. One was my debt to income ratio. Because, of course, I'm not making enough money that's going to offset the amount of money that I take in student loan. And then the next part is, because I kept getting in those situations where I was not making on-time payments. So I have delinquencies on my credit from my student loan. Now, one part about me is I didn't have a lot of consumer debt, but that student loan hurt my score so much. And a lot of those delinquencies came about because loan servicers, and this is something that they don't tell you. Now, they notify you on the sneak. You really got to be paying attention. But again, nobody educates you on some things, on such things. So one thing that hurt me and why I had a lot of delinquencies is that I kept having loan servicers that would sell my loan to another servicer, and I didn't know. So I would have one loan that would be broken down into many different parts, but it's the same loan. But because different servicers have been picking up portions of the loan, that one loan looked like I had multiple delinquencies, and it was from one loan. So once I looked at my credit report, and someone listening may be able to attest to this, maybe they paid attention to their credit report, but once I actually pulled my report and I looked at it, I had one loan that was broken down into several smaller payments that, and all of them were delinquent. So for example, I might have one loan, and I had same company, same loan, mind you. One line on the credit report, it said payment was $32. Another line, payment $16. Another line, payment $73. So for
Yeah.
me, if I'm looking at my credit report, oh, she can't pay $73 a month. She can't pay $32 a month. Of course I can. But when you break it down like that to someone who's looking at my credit to determine my credit worthiness, it looks like I can't pay minimum payments when all of those small payments make up the larger payment, which is over $800 that you want me to pay a month. You get what I'm saying? So I was
Oh,
like, this
okay.
is a scam. I was like, this is a scam and it's the setup. It took for me to really sit down and look at ways to fix my credit to be like, you know what? I gotta fix this because I have a goal in mind. I want to buy a house. And right now it looks like I can't do it, or I can't afford it, or I don't have the credit worthiness because these loans have hit my credit so hard. And that has such a huge bearing on my credit. And I think again that people don't have that conversation. So one thing that and this touches a lot on what you were saying, Nikki, that when you call these credit loan, when you call these student loan people and you want to get your payments reduced, the first thing they want to know is what your gross income is. They want to set a payment based on your gross income. But we all know that
Right.
there are implications behind that because we don't see our gross income.
Exactly.
We don't see our gross income. My net income is not enough to pay the amount per month that you want me to pay.
And they know that. They
So
know
you take
that.
out taxes. So that's why my net is so low. You take out so many taxes, and the first thing you ask me is, oh, well, let's see if we can get you some credit breaks. And the first thing you ask me is, do you own a home? Well, no, I don't own a home. And you know why I don't own a home? Because of these daggone student loans. Oh, well, do you have any kids? No, I don't have any children. You know why? Because I can't afford them. I can't afford a kid. You know why? Because I don't make enough net income. And then you want to
Exactly.
take my pay based off of my gross, which I don't even see. So how I'm you're already putting me behind the ball before I even got a chance to spin my pants about the race. Any feedback, Tasha, Lee?
Well, I didn't go to school traditionally. So I worked a full-time job and went to school part-time. And it took me a little bit longer, but I had, when I was finally done, a couple $1,000s in student loans. Now, a lot of people said to me, "Oh, when are you gonna finish school?" Like it was a weird situation. I had no loans and I was proud of that I was going to school for free. But then society was saying, "Oh, it took you 10 years to finish school." But I had no loans.
Right.
So
If I knew then what I know now, baby.
right, and I tell people all the time that I meet, "So how you planning on paying for school?" I met a girl that took a gap year. She worked a full-time job for a year to save up her money and lived at home.
It's a risk.
Went at 19 instead of going at 18. So I feel like society says go to college, go to college, go to college. But then when somebody does it non-traditionally, "Oh, you not done with your degree yet?"
It's a respectability thing. Like, we know it
Right, but
doesn't
then you can't.
translate into wealth, but we still look at it as a marker of somebody's like assertiveness or their moral compass or just their drive in life, period.
So, oh, it took you. Why is it taking you so long? Because I'm doing this way because I found a job even working at a front desk of a dorm. But it's paying me, and I get to take 3 to 4 classes for free a term.
The link because currently I work at a
It is.
university and I would I was I tell anybody now if you're interested in going to college if you can work at a college or university chances are very high that they carry a tuition remission program, which means that you can go to school for free. Now, you might have to pay the taxes on that tuition, depending on the rules that they have, and that the school is able to supplement the cost of those taxes. But otherwise, your tuition is free, especially undergrad. And that leads me to the next question. Did you feel pressure when you went to college? I know for me, there was a tremendous amount
Absolutely. Absolutely.
of pressure. Yes, there was a tremendous
Yeah, I
amount
don't
of
think I really have a choice. Like, there was no other
Right.
option given to
Absolutely. My mom was like, college, which one?
I mean,
Like,
even high school, it's like, midway senior year, we had to start having meetings with the guidance counselor. And where are you applying?
yeah,
What do
it
you?
wasn't, are you applying?
Where?
Where?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the expectation. That was clear.
Absolutely.
For
Yep.
sure.
And again,
I'm in a position now where I went to school. I didn't have many loans because my mom, at the time when they were doing a little bit better, they tried to save for me and my sisters. I did have a little bit of loans, but I didn't finish right away. I took time off turned into years, and now here I am finishing up my degree, but I'm a full ass adult now, so I'm doing it on my own. And now I'm at the point where I'm just like, I just bought a house. I don't want these loans. So what am I going to do? I'm going to literally stay in school until I die.
listen,
Like, I'm going to
ma'am.
get my master's. I'm going to get my
Right.
doctorate. I'm going to take a class a semester, even if it's just one, just so that they don't go on a repayment, because that's how terrified I am of these loans, because my sister's best friend has $130,000 worth of loans right now.
Jeez.
And I'm just like, I can't do that to myself. I have children. Yeah. Like, so I already told myself that until I can't take a class anymore, I'm gonna be in school forever just so that they don't want a repayment, which is
Now,
crazy.
it's funny you said that because I just currently enrolled back in school, and it beyond the motivation that I'm picking up another graduate degree to push me further in my career, I can't lie and say that I didn't have the same thought in mind. Like, shoot, if I go back, stay on my
Right.
back foot. But the next part is they don't tell you that you can cap out of your student loans. Now,
Yeah.
fortunate for me, I didn't have to pick up student loans until I went to graduate school. So my loan amount and compared to some other people, I'm very low on the scale. But now in this program that I'm currently in, oh, that's just going. You may as well put me on a rocket booster. Not only does it expensive, but I have to pay for it. And it's like I gotta take these loans out. My only saving grace at this point with this program is if, fingers crossed, if I happen to get a new job that will cover the cost of my education. And making sure that I get a job that is related, that they'll cover the cost of my education. But
Yeah, my job does tuition reimbursement, but I still got to come out up front.
now, I don't
So,
mind that so much if I have the means to pay back. And that is the part, having the means to pay back. And that brings me to the next part, that things that no one tells you. So they tell you that your loan can be sold to another loan servicer and you'll probably miss that piece of information. They don't tell you the impact that it has on your credit. They don't tell you that you're probably not going to get a job that pays you enough to pay them back.
Right, absolutely.
Go to school with this thought in your mind that, okay, I'm going to school, I'm going to graduate school, I'm getting all this education, I'm going to be making all this money, I'm going to be able to pay these loans back. They don't tell you how, you don't realize how competitive it is until you get out here. And if you went to school and you goofed off, you really in a bad way because you really gotta be involved because it's really about who you're connected to and who you know. You're able to get positions where you're able to pay the stuff back. And in general, our generation, we're not making the money that we need to make to pay these loans back. But everybody, our parents pushed us in this way of you gotta go to school. you have to go to school to make it. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, I went to school to make it, but I'm barely making it. So
we're still living off of baby boomers' rhetoric. Mm-hmm. We're still living off their lifestyle. When they were young in our age, they had the first wave of affirmative action. They had quotas. It was a lot less immigration. I mean, that might sound bad to say, but it was. It was, the population was less. So it was like more opportunity, less competitive than it is now. It wasn't as global of a world as it is now. So we have to realize what time we're living in. It's very different. And just like,
I feel like we actually have it the worst, because the generation coming behind us, they're being told that school might not be for you, and that's okay, because they got this tech world that they live in, and they can find all of these other avenues to make all of this money without the loans, and like not even trade schools, but like this whole like Silicon Valley world where they almost applaud you for not going to school, for going alternate routes. So we didn't have that. They mm-hmm. told us you have to go to school, and they're telling the kids now, find another way. So we're in that generation where we're after the boomers, where kind of before the millennials, I guess we're considered millennials, but we're mm-hmm. older millennials. So we just kind of trying to find our way and try to keep from drowning, and everybody else is going to have,
they're going to be debt free.
Really? Basically like all of the debt falls on us.
Everyday struggle. Some days I'm like, who's going to cue the music to Good Times?
Okay. Like the thing.
Hey, we got him.
Girl, okay. Good Times. Standing in the towel line, girl.
Okay. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, people don't tell you, like, federal student loans are literally not subject to a statute of limitations. Collection does not stop until the borrower's death. Like, nobody knows that for sure.
But see, you know what, Nikki? That's the next part. Because a lot of people don't even know that part. They don't know that's the only way you're going to get out of it is if you die. So for anybody listening, God forbid death knocks on your door tonight or anytime soon, or anybody in your family. However, if you have student loan and you pass away, that goes with you. So don't have your family up here trying to pay back your hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loans. But see, they don't tell you that. That's in small print. But again, no one's having these conversations. I've learned more about student loans in my graduate studies than I did in undergrad. And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Nobody has that financial fitness conversation with you at the age that is appropriate. And when I say appropriate age to me is around that 17, 18 age, because that's when you can start signing your name on paper and somebody's going to give you something.
Right.
And no one teaches fiscal responsibility. They don't even tell you about the effect your credit has on your ability to get certain jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you have to show some sort of fiscal responsibility, because now I know that credit bearing isn't as hard on applicant backgrounds as they used to be. There are more companies and agencies that are more lenient, because they know that with the millennial generation, that people got credit problems, people got financial problems. That's just the way of the world right now. So they're more lenient, but they still consider it and they still look at it. And people don't realize how important it is. And like you all were saying, we didn't have a choice. Our parents were like, yeah, you going to school. It was either school or the military.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So like, going to school. So it was like, okay, I'm going to school thinking I'm going to go to school, I'm going to get my degree. So I get this bachelor's degree, and that's like having a high school diploma. So now I got a high school diploma, and now I got all these loans. Like, streets. And then I got the nerve to be adding to them, right?
Exactly.
And can we talk about the payments, though? And again, they make these payments so wild that you can't even fathom how you even... I told this lady one time, she told me my student loan payment was $826. I said, man, $826 a month, I'm going to be living in a homeless shelter. And then you have the nerve to ask me why I don't have any kids or why I don't own a home. Are you crazy?
Yeah, you can't even afford to have one child.
The nerve.
The thing that struck the nerve of me when she said that is that this is the way that the calculation works. So the calculation is just what it is, and the Department of Education says it that way. They don't care how much money you make. They don't care about your circumstances. They don't care about anything other than this formula that they have to calculate your repayment. So once she put all the information in that formula, that's the figure that she came up with. And instead of trying to get me a payment that I can afford, you're telling me that I have to agree to this payment. And if I don't pay it, you're going to report me negatively to the credit bureau.
Right.
So I said, well, I can afford to pay that every month. She said, well, how much can you afford to pay? I said, I mean, I really can't afford to pay you, but like realistically, maybe $75 a month. But I'll go ahead and do. I told her, at the time I was getting paid biweekly, I said, I'll do $120 automatic deduction biweekly. She said, that's not enough. And she told me that. She said, take my $120 biweekly, but they would still report me negatively to the credit bureau because I was not repaying the agreed upon amount, the calculated amount of $826 a month. I said, so you're telling me that if I don't pay you $826, you're going to report me negatively. If I pay you $240 a month, you're going to report me because it's not enough. And she said, unfortunately, yeah. I said, oh, it's not unfortunate. I'm just going to pay you nothing. How about that? I said, I'm glad we cleared this up and had this conversation. I said, because if you're going to report me anyway, then you get $0.00. Now, is that financially responsible? No. Did it get me in trouble? Did it come back and bite me on my butt? Absolutely, because it took me longer to get to that house. But that's the kind of problem I was dealing with. I'm like, ma'am, even if you have student loans and you work for these student loan people, I'm sure the student loan servicer doesn't even pay you enough to pay your loans back.
They don't,
because I used to work for Sally Mae. And I'm
really
telling y'all, it's a scam. I did. So when I was living in Delaware and I first came out of college, first of all, they run your credit to make sure you don't have any loans or your loans are in good standing before you can work for them.
Okay, babe.
So luckily, because the undergrad and the way my mom had me set up, I didn't have many loans then. So I got the job. You know, I'm right out of college. I just wanted a job or whatever. So I took this collection job. I would never do that again. Because first of all, I want to say I'm about 20. I'm talking to girls, guys, anybody my age. And I'm sitting there with this debt calculator going over their finances with them and trying to convince them that they can afford to give me everything that they have left. Like there was nothing left. After, like, we had to go through, okay, so what's your car payment? What's your car insurance? Do you pay rent? What are you paying? What are your expenses for food every month? What are your expenses for clothes? And then once they would give us a whole list of their expenses and we put it in this calculator, we were supposed to tell them what they should cut back on. Well, maybe you should cut your cable. Maybe you should cut your phone. Well, maybe you shouldn't eat so much. Like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
Mind you, I'm talking to people who are just like me. I just came out of school. I'm like, I'm not doing this. It's a whole scam, and they don't care. Like, I don't understand. Like, we will all be looking at each other like, why are we doing
why?
This? Like, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I only worked there, I want to say, for 6 months. I said, I would never. Like, I don't even, that's why it took me so long to even decide to go back to school, because I really was anti-loan because of that. Like, I was like, this, like, they treat you like a number. Like, you're talking to real people who just graduated and can't get a job in their field, and you're telling them in 6 months you got to pay me back $500-$700 a month.
Yeah.
From where? Where are you supposed to get it from?
You'll have better luck getting it from your mama.
And then basically shame them into doing it. Like, oh, what you mean you can't pay? Well, what are your clothing expenses? Well, maybe you shouldn't buy clothes. Like, I'm not telling nobody that. So
nah.
I couldn't do it. It was crazy.
I can't buy clothes to go to work. Okay.
Right, exactly. Like, it's a catch-22. It's a whole vicious circle. I said never again. But that's so, my take on it.
So you want me to run up my health insurance because all I'm gonna be able to eat is noodles.
Is ramen noodles.
And then end up with high blood pressure.
Diabetes. Then yes. I ain't gonna be having it. Then you're going to tell me to stop taking my insulin. I'm going to have to cut my insulin back because that costs too much money because you need your student loan money back.
Yes. When I tell you there was a list of questions that they wanted us to ask and they wanted us to calculate it, and then the calculator would tell us what their what was left of their income after they gave us all of their expenses, and if their debt to income ratio was too high, it was our responsibility to try to fix it for them, tell them where they can cut so that they can make a promise to pay. No.
I was told you to mind your business.
That was I was told to mind my business. And I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. I don't agree with it. So,
yeah, that's a hard position to be in, especially when you know both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm. It was like, I need a paycheck, but I don't need it that bad. So.
Yep. And then the next thing is if you don't pay or you keep putting them off too long, you run. Like, I had a conversation with my current student loan servicer because now, you know, right now I'm in deferment because I'm still in school. But before, I was in forbearance for like a year. And I said, well, what happens when this forbearance is over? He was like, oh, well, we'll talk about it then. I said, no, we need to talk about it now. I said, because y'all want your money. Mm-hmm. And I already next year is not going to be no different. I might be making a few extra dollars unless I hit the lotto or I get this big position and a huge boost in income. My situation is probably going to be about the same. And I know that I'm not going to be able to pay you $800 a month. So the answer to them is to keep doing forbearances, keep doing deferments. Meanwhile, the interest is still piling
that's
up.
That's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's like, your answer is forbearance. I was like, and that is not the answer. I'm like, sir, I'm not trying to avoid you. I am not trying to duck the fact that I have a financial obligation to the Department of Education. What I am trying to do is get a payment that I can afford. If you can get me a payment that I can afford, I will pay you for the rest of my life if I have to. It's just about getting a payment that I can afford so that it doesn't negatively impact my credit, so that my credit is good, so that I can have other financial opportunities afforded to me. Because again, that 800 score hitting better than having the money in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So I want my score up. So how can you help me get to that? That's the conversation that needs to be happening in regards to student loans. Not just raring on people because they took out so much money saying that you need to be paying hundreds of dollars back a month when you know that I don't make that much money. I can't afford that. And you know, I just kept saying over and over, I just want a payment I can afford. I can't afford $800. That makes absolutely no sense to me. So then the next part this leads me to is, how does that make you, I ain't gonna lie, I get a little jealous when I look at people with no degree, fresh out of high school. I know people that have a GED that make way more money than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in my feelings sometimes. I'm in my feelings sometimes because I'm like, you barely made it. You barely made it. And you know,
when you say barely made it, what do you mean?
Barely made it, meaning you left school. You didn't finish high school.
Mm-hmm.
You came up with a GED. If you got your GED, you making more money than me.
But what are they doing? That's the question.
Doing things that I would probably consider doing.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that every job that I see is something that I would do, because it's absolutely not. But listen, if somebody had told me that I could make over $100,000 a year driving an 18-wheeler, you don't think I would have went down to that school and got my CDL?
You'll see.
I think I would learn to trade.
Please.
I think our generation pushed college so much.
They did. Yeah. They looked down at trade school, and now we need more people in trades. Actually,
I know a lot of people my age that are mechanics. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're out there. I just didn't interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
But
that aren't trash men, that are whatever. They're a little bit older, or maybe they're younger. They're, you know, like for me, because I'm not quite a millennial, I'm a little bit older. We weren't encouraged to go to trade school. We weren't encouraged to be electricians and plumbers and all that other stuff. We weren't encouraged to go to college.
We wanted to wear suits, and now it's like, we're paying the price.
Let me tell you something. I'll gladly put me on a button-up shirt with my name on the left pocket if somebody told me that I would be making over $100,000 a year. Like, I didn't have to finish high school to do it. Now, that's the part.
Mm-hmm.
That is the part. And I'm not saying, again, that there are benefits. And for me, I can speak for myself. There have been benefits to my education. There have been downsides to my education. But I met the last job I had, I met this police officer. He was an investigator, actually. And we were just having a conversation. And one of the main things he said to me, he said, nobody cares about your education. They want to know that you can do the job that they need you to do. It's about applicable knowledge. He said, if you have degrees, that's great. That gets you a few extra dollars. He said, but if you have experience and applicable knowledge doing something and you do it for a certain amount of time, you can make the same amount of money as the person that went to school. He said, the only thing is that person that went to school might get it a little faster than you. He said, but you already have the experience and you're going to be the one to get those specialized positions because you have the direct applicable experience. He's like, nobody cares that you went to school. Do you know how many jobs I've applied to and they tell you that they want a bachelor's degree, they want a master's degree, and they never ask me for verification. They never ask me for verification though. Do you know how many jobs I've applied to and they never actually ask for the verification that I have this degree?
But I don't know what the process is though that they do.
It depends on the agency. It depends on the agency. But I'm just saying there have been, now there are some agencies that, some places I have applied to, they're very strict about that. They want to see a diploma. They want to see a transcript. But there have been jobs I have applied to that want that, but they don't confirm it. So that led me to think, well, how many people in here you got fake in the funk because they just have the knowledge base? And ultimately, that's what it's about. And, you know, a lot of times you have people, again, that chose the route to not go to school. And school is not for everybody. So I don't look down on anyone who does not go to college. But for those that did not go, again, I know what I went through. I know what I'm dealing with. And I can't say I ain't been a little salty every now and again, you know, meet somebody. And they're like, yeah, I'm making good money. I got my GED. And I'm like, oh, dang. Dang, I'm over here struggling, still trying to get a degree, still trying to make the money you making. And you might work a little harder than me, but I don't even look at what type of work it is for real, because just as stressed as a person might be doing blue collar work, I'm stressed doing sitting at a desk.
But I feel like when I was getting ready to go to school, like when I was in high school, there was just certain careers like you're gonna be a teacher, you're gonna be a doctor, you're gonna be a lawyer, you're gonna be like an educate, like there were certain things like they didn't talk about. We need plumbers. Like, you're going to eventually own a house and you're going to need a plumber. You're going to need an electrician. They didn't even like hairstylists and things like that. Like, I mean, cosmetology has always been a thing, but like right now, like with this generation, like you can take it so many different ways. There's lash professionals, there's brow professionals. Like, they look down on stuff like that. I have a cousin who's a hairstylist, and I remember this so vividly because she's a little bit older than me. But when she was coming out of school, she went to a vo-tech school. She went to college for a year, and she used to do hair on the side to make extra money. And school wasn't for her. She decided to become a full-time hairstylist. I remember one of our aunts looked at her with such disgust, like, you leaving school to do hair? And it's so funny now, like, it wasn't funny. It hurt her feelings because she still brings it up. But, like, she's doing better than most of us because she owns her shop. She don't have no student loans. She has a faithful clientele. They come see her faithfully every week, every 2 weeks. She's doing okay. And us that were conditioned to be, you know, educators and lawyers and doctors and go to school for 4 years and then another 2 years and then another 2 years and get all of these degrees, she's been done getting her education 10 times
and
over.
Making money and living her best life.
Yes, and then she makes her own schedule. She know what day she want to work. She her book is open when she wants it. It's closed when she wants it. And we got to work 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. And we got to request our time off. And, you know, we got to go through the whole system of this is corporate America. And mind you, she decided that she don't want to work next week. She don't have to work next week. So I remember my aunt looked at her with such disgust. And she's probably doing better than most of us right now. So they just didn't respect it. Like, it was only respectful to say I'm graduating high school and I'm on my way to college. Like, literally.
I know me and Nikki have talked about this before, the unbelievable amount of pressure that it came from our family about getting a government job.
Mm-hmm. Because y'all down there in that area too.
Yes. It's like, you got to get this good government job. It's like, I'm trying to build. Can somebody talk to me about how to build wealth? Like, what are my options for wealth besides working for the government, besides going to school? And no one's having that conversation. And like you were saying earlier, Tasha, you know, this you know, generation behind us, people are being praised for not going to school, for being techie, for having these ideas. And it's not necessary. If you got that one good idea, if you got that motivation, if you have that drive, school is not for everybody. I encourage school for people if that's what they want to do, but that's not the means to an end. And I think that that's what was conveyed to us. It's a means to an end. But again, no one, and it comes down to knowledge. No one told them, so they didn't know to tell us. So it's like, if I knew then what I know now, I would have done things so differently. I'm not saying I probably wouldn't have went to school eventually, but that leads me to the final question of this topic is, what advice would you give your high school self about going to college?
I don't think I would have went. School was not for me. Like, I finished, and, you know, I taught, I worked with kids with autism, but, you know, like, school wasn't for me. I'm good with computers and things like that. I could have been installing cable or DirecTV and made a lot of money.
Okay.
Like, I don't think I would have went. Like, I was just an average student. I didn't do anything spectacular. Like, I would have been like, you don't have to go to college if you don't want to.
What advice would you give your high school self, Tasha?
I think I would have gone eventually. I don't think I should. I wouldn't have pushed myself to go just because everybody was telling me to. I was a young high school graduate because of the way my birthday fell. So I was 17 just about my whole freshman year. I didn't turn 18 until late January of my freshman year. So that's considered spring semester at that point. I was not ready. I was just so happy to be out of my mom's house. I didn't apply myself. I didn't focus. Like, I was a decent student in high school. Like, I got good grades. So it was just assumed I was going to go to college and excel. I got to college and I was like, I can wake up when I want. Like, I felt like it was such a waste of money. And you can't just tell kids and just push kids because that's what you want for them. Go to school. Because if they're not ready, they're not going to do well. Now you waste the money. Now you're accumulating debt. And eventually I wanted to go to school, but I should have been able to, I would have told myself, work, experience life, travel, save some money. And then when you're ready, if that's what you want to do, you can always go to school. It's always going to be there. I definitely would have waited. So.
Okay, so what advice would you give your high school self, Nikki?
I don't think I would give myself any. I didn't do anything wrong, okay? It's a setup from the beginning. And first of all, we're talking about, like, not everybody has the know-how and the personal knowledge or the self-starterism to be, I just made up that word. Everybody can't. Some people need to go to school. Some people need school.
You need a school.
Right. Some people need the direction. And Some people like school. I really like school. I don't like how much it costs, but that's just a part of capitalism. But I would tell the one thing I would tell myself is to go for something I love, because I wouldn't have chased something that I didn't really love, but I just thought that I did because I decided to make an investment in it. And I should just continue to go on and just until to make something of it. But, you know, that never materialized. And here we are going back in the second round. Luckily, this time around, I'm not going to be paying for it because, you know, now I have the military and they're paying for it. So I can have a second chance to do something that I actually care about. But I wouldn't, I wouldn't tell myself to travel, because travel with what money? At that point, I was 17. My mom didn't have any money to send me to travel. Nobody had that type of money. It's very hard to say. Like, I wish I could travel back to before, right after slavery and Reconstruction, and kill Andrew Johnson and give all the land to the slaves. And then that way, all the slaves would have had the land. I'm just saying, like,
I feel you.
We action oriented people. We're trying to piece together what we could do to fix ourselves. But
I understand.
It is what it is. At this point,
it is what it is. If I could go back with my high school
self, I think I probably would have went to school eventually. But I think that I would have took the time to really get to know myself. And kind of touching on what each of you said, you know, I would have took that time to really figure out what it is that I liked and what I wanted to do. Because I know for me, what I started out with in college is not what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not going to say I wasted 4 years, because I didn't waste 4 years in my education, investing in my education. But I'm not doing what I set out initially to do. And like now I work in like a legal field, you know, doing compliance and law enforcement, things like that. But I started out with the intention of going to medical school. And that's so far off of base what I'm doing now. And, you know, as I was going through college, my mind changed because I got exposed to different things. So I think if I had the opportunity to go back, it would be, I would want to be exposed to more. I feel like, in a sense, I was sheltered. I was kind of corralled into that college bucket. You know, I really didn't have too much say on where I went and how it kind of played, how the chips fell. And, you know, in regards to my college start. So if I had the opportunity to go back, I probably wouldn't have gone immediately. I definitely would have taken time off. I would have gotten to know myself, found out what it is that I really like, and just kind of be and evaluate and find out if it was for me. And I think that's one of the things that I think about. I'm like, if I ever had children, I would want my kids to make informed decisions. I want you to know everything that's laid out in front of you. These are your options. You make a decision of what's best for you and what kind of life you want to have. And like you were saying, Nikki, you know, in a sense, it is what it is, because the game is already rigged. It is what it is. But when do we change the narrative to make sure that our kids and our generations to come after us are able to have some kind of benefit somewhere? We have to start teaching and making sure that we are informed. So I'm hoping that anyone that's listening to this episode, that you did get a little informed. Just a little advice to anybody. I can speak for myself. I'll let the cousins give their piece on this as well. But take the time to look at your credit report. Even if you think it's something negative, you think it's something bad, face it. You have to face it. Pull your report. Know what's on your report. Look through your report. If you think you got bad credit, whatever it is, if it's something that you want to do and it's impacted by your credit, the first step to getting to that goal is looking at your credit report. You can get one for free once a year. Freecreditreport.com is very simple. You can join Credit Karma. You can join Credit Sesame. Those are great resources that you can use to start looking at your credit and fixing your credit. Next piece of advice I will also give in that regard is don't spend a whole lot of money paying these credit repair companies to fix your credit. The only thing that they're doing is you're paying them to do the actual lead work that you can do yourself if you took the time. And that's one mistake I made years ago. I made that mistake years ago of paying hundreds of dollars for someone to fix my credit when I bought a $5 credit book and fixed it myself, and that's how I got in my house. So, and just my last little plug, I always like to give a plug out to my school, my alma mater, ECSU in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. They have an NC Promise tuition plan, which means that if you're an in-state student, you pay $500 a semester flat rate for North Carolina residents, and $2,500 per semester for out-of-state students. So, you know, it does not affect required fees and book fees and cost of attendance and things like that. But this is a place that has flat rate tuition costs that are not astronomical. They're very reasonable. This is the kind of thing that needs to be going on, especially at HBCUs. Shout out to my HBCU, ECSU, for the North Carolina Promise tuition plan. This is what we need. And Nikki, you had mentioned that in the beginning of the call, that especially HBCUs, when it comes to debt, for us, you know, it's not just debt for us, for the student, it's debt for the universities.
Absolutely.
Any little last thoughts?
No, that's it. You know, like, just think before you get a credit card. I mean, we do have to build credit, but be responsible. And if you're not sure, then ask somebody. I mean, there's way to use credit responsibly. Of course, you need to build credit to buy a car and things like that. But, you know, be careful. Don't be out there just swiping and doing whatever, you know, thinking you got to buy a whole bunch of things because, you know, you don't need it, you know?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, for people, I hate quick fixes. But I'm a systematic type of person. But speaking on these credit cards, yes, if you want to pay that credit card, if you get a credit card, pay the extra principal on it if you have the means to.
Please.
That's a huge thing.
The minimum balances are not it.
That is not it.
Yeah, the minimum balance. If you can pay the minimum, if that's all you can pay, okay. But if you can make an extra payment and pay down on the principal of the actual, I think the actual loan when your statement, it's a certain date on your statement that you can go and then you can apply the principal on that statement. So it'll already reflect before you get that bill for that minimum amount. And that'll help you pay your credit cards down faster. That's one thing that I learned. So,
same thing with your house, Sean. FYI, if you can pay more than your mortgage payment,
already 2 payments ahead. Don't worry about that.
Because that mortgage payment is only going to that interest. So if you can pay more, do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And keep your credit usage below 30%. That boosts your score significantly. I'm telling you guys, if there's anybody that's listening that's on Instagram, let me tell you, please don't. If you're lazy, then this is not for you. But if you got a little time and you got a little investment in yourself, I'm telling you, I can't remember her page, but if you look on Instagram, I'm sure you can find it somewhere. It's a little $5 credit book. It's a little Bible. When I tell you, the girl gives you the letters you need to write these credit bureaus, she gives you all the tools you need to make it happen yourself. You don't have to pay. And I'm not trying to, let me put a plug, I'm not trying to rain on anybody's business that does credit repair. But I know that I, speaking from experience, I paid hundreds of dollars. Did it work? Absolutely. Did it sustain me? No. And you know why it didn't sustain me? Because I didn't know what they did to clean my credit. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand what they were doing. All I knew is I was paying somebody to get my score higher. But before I knew it, I was still in the same situation because I didn't know what they did. I didn't know what the problem was. Once I realized what the problem was, I was able to fix it myself. And now I know, and I won't ever be in that situation again. My score is up. It's going up, 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 as high as I can get it, as fast as I can get it. So you don't have to pay a lot of money. There's resources out here. Make sure you're taking advantage of it. If you're in school, be careful with them student loans. I think that's it for tonight, ladies. Join us next week. We're going to come back and not sure what we're going to talk about just yet, but stay tuned. Be sure that you are following us on social media, on Facebook, Your Favorite Cousins. We post polls during the week. Make sure you're participating, commenting, participating in our polls. Who knows? You might hear your name on our show. Also, if you have questions, comments, concerns, you want to write to us, you want advice on anything, you can email us at yourfavecousins@gmail.com. And that's it. So we will talk to you next time.
All right.
It's a pleasure as always, ladies.
See you later.
Good night.
Good night.